Madison, Wisconsin is as good as it gets if you are like me and you love the college sports.
This is The Jump Around with Jim Rutledge and Riley Auk. Streaming live on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Dancing down the sidelines. Can they catch him? No! The Badgers answer instantly. There will be no undefeated champion on Wisconsin with an unbelievable stretch drive to the championship game.
It's over. The Wisconsin Badgers win 17-9. They are the first Big Ten team ever to win successive Rose Bowl games.
That is the best college sports town in America.
And this is the best college sports show in America. It is the Jump Around on ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee's YouTube streams. I'm Jim Rutledge alongside Riley Yauch. We got Dimps behind the glass. And Riley, I got to ask, Eichhorst, yes. Where are you at? I feel like initially your excitement level is like a 5,
yep.
Which for normal non-Rosy Red or Cardinal Red Badger fans, that'd be like a 1. So yep. Where are you now?
I would say now I'm up to a 7. I'm genuinely feeling better about the hire 72 hours later after it was announced. I told you I wanted to be excited about yep. the hire, and I was going to withhold full judgment until I heard him speak. And now, yesterday, we got the opportunity to hear him speak and interim chancellor Dean Eric Wilcott speak. And after, I mean, we unfortunately weren't invited to hear him speak, but thankfully through some other great Badgers beat reporters who posted some clips, we got to hear what he had to say. So I have a few things that he said that encouraged me. Number one, he acknowledged that he used the Nebraska experience to grow. I think that is everyone's main concern. What happened at Nebraska was objectively awful. He did not have a great run at Nebraska, but he acknowledged it wasn't his best. He has grown from it. He's looking in the mirror and used it over the past 8 years to get better. I like that. Number two, Eric Wilcott said that he is confident in Eichhorst because of the conversations he had with people from Texas. You brought that up initially. What did he learn from his time at Texas? And it sounds like, at least according to the man who made the decision to hire him, he learned a lot, and they speak glowingly about him at Texas. I like that too. Number three, he talked about how he knows the 72 counties. He name-dropped Chautauqua, Oconomowoc, Ashland. So he knows Wisconsin.
Yep.
That gives me confidence. And he also said, verbatim, he loves people and he loves getting out. That I called him Mac 2.0. That is the exact opposite of what Chris McIntosh did. He clearly did not like getting out and didn't seem to really love people. So I like that. And finally, number four, he's talked with Luke Fickell already. He said he's excited to meet him in person, and he wants to put people in good positions and get out of the way. Let them do what they do. He doesn't seem like he's going to be a meddler, which I like. We talked about that yesterday on Molly and Jim. Ideally, in a year from now, everything is running smoothly, and no one's worrying about Sean Eichhorst. No one's talking about the athletic director anymore. So those are four things that I really like from what I heard, from what he said yesterday. So 72 hours later, I'm feeling a lot better.
Yeah, I'm glad you are. I think you should. He's saying the right things, and that's
exactly
all you can look at right now. And you don't have to look hard, and I think coaches is the one that people are going to see the easiest, but there are GMs and others that they fell flat on their face, and they were bad or failed another job, and then they learned from it, and they were better going forward. Mm-hmm. I mean, sports is full of people in management positions who have done that, and also professional athletes who have done that. So I wouldn't call Nebraska a failure. I would say football failed.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I'd get like a C-plus or something like that. Because
yeah.
we talked on multiple shows about how the coaches and the players love the environment at Nebraska with the athletic department. That's important. That matters. When you talk about fundraising that he's doing at Texas, those are good scores on that. So again, someone that is showing that he has the ability to learn and grow. So I get it. Like, Nebraska fans are going to jump in and dunk on this. Badger fans are going to get in their feels because, oh, well, our rival's ripping us, so this must be bad. Mm-hmm. And, like, we don't know, but I said this before, and he's competent, which I don't, like, competent isn't the greatest...
descriptor of all time.
I'm just saying that he's, I think he's competent and capable. Mm-hmm. And so, like, competent to me means, like, he knows the job. He knows everything he has to do. There's no learning on the job for him. For being an athletic director, especially even at the University of Wisconsin, he knows where the bodies are buried. He knows if he needs to throw those bodies out. He knows what he needs to do, and he knows what's good and what might need some fixing. Mm-hmm. Those are all positives. Yes. Do you want maybe the new guard and all that kind of stuff? Maybe. We don't know. Like, it's one of those things where the grass is greener because it's different. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that this is going to work out. Because he's tied to Barry Alvarez, but I'm not going to say it isn't going to work out because he's tied to Barry Alvarez in the old regime. And because Mac didn't work out, this is going to work out. Because we talked about it. Barry's got a long line of successful people throughout as well. So we'll have to see what the Badgers are very quickly. And football's going to be the decider here. Mm-hmm. And because, look, if volleyball founders for a year, that's not going to be Eichhorst. Sheffield has got a long leash. Mm-hmm. They'll bounce back. Eichhorst would have no impact on volleyball being good or bad. He doesn't want to have an impact on that. That's the type of AD that you want. Like, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Normal people don't know the AD for good programs. And that's where we want to be. I don't want to hear his name 12 months from now. I either Fickle's the coach or he's not. That coach has been hired then, and they're coaching right now. And that's it. Mm-hmm. That's the end of it. So the thing that I remember reading somewhere is that when you hire someone new, you're often replacing a problem that you think you needed to fix. So every hire tells you what an organization thought its biggest problem was. Mm-hmm. So what does Sean Eichhorst and the hire tell you?
Tells me that UW Athletics and UW Madison thought their biggest problem with the athletic program was Chris McIntosh.
Yes. yes, but what about Mac?
That Mac couldn't communicate with people, that he didn't want the job. That he was floundering in his job. He didn't know how to motivate people internally. And like Eichhorst said there at the when it came to Fickle, how he just wants to set people up and get out of their way. I think it says to me that Chris McIntosh clearly was not setting up the department for success. He was not setting the coaches up for success. He was not setting the programs up for success. Like, you look at Greg Gard, he had to fundraise pretty much all of his money. I think Eichhorst is probably going to fix that problem. Kelly Sheffield, volleyball, same thing. Mark Johnson, women's hockey, same thing. And they finally, I don't know how much credit you can even give Mac for this. It seems like they figured out how to get football the appropriate funding to compete, at least in that upper third half of the Big Ten. We'll see what happens on the field this fall. But McIntosh wasn't putting UW Athletics in a position to succeed, and it looks like they believe that Eichhorst is going to be the guy that'll be able to do that.
I think if you're going to say Barry Alvarez made a mistake naming Chris McIntosh his successor, the mistake could have been forgetting that not everyone is Barry Alvarez. So Barry Alvarez came in. He was a great football coach, great leader of men. He came in with no experience and no background in running an administration and an athletic department. And by all accounts, he did a great job. He probably ran it the same way that Eichhorst is going to run it now and the way that he ran his football teams. Hire good people, get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that. But sometimes greatness forgets that that's not that easy. Mac had no background into this. Mac didn't have some big, long business background either. Mac played in the NFL, had a small business that ran for a little bit, came here, was here a couple years, and then became the AD. That's not the resume of Eichhorst. And it's worth noting that sometimes if you are capable of doing 80% of the job in your sleep because you're so experienced at it, it allows you to see everything else you need to fix. And that wasn't even the case for Eichhorst when he arrived at Nebraska. But now he's had the opportunity to fail and look. So could there have been a better hire? Sure. The guy from the Dallas Stars, maybe. But, like, he has no experience running an athletic department. So you flip side it. You might just have the aesthetic that you want. because it's not tied directly to Barry and all these sorts of things. And it's a business person. And I'm not saying that that person would have failed, but we would have had the reverse conversation of, like, you're asking this person to come into a world where they don't know how this works. And so all things considered, there was plenty of people that thought the Badgers couldn't get Sean Eichhorst. So the fact that they got him because he had a nice, cushy job that paid him a lot of money that he was very successful at, and he could have just worked at Texas till he retired. He said, I want to take this challenge on, and I want my dream job. And let's not forget one little thing. I know it's a Power 5 job. Wisconsin, especially with its reputation about paying coaches in the past and then facilities and overall money, you might not get the best of the best out there. I don't think, like, it's not like you're going to get Alabama's AD. I mean, you were going to have to pick from kind of like how we do NIL. You look from the school that's a tick below you, and then you try to elevate up. In this case, they didn't do that. They went for number two at a school that's above them. Those are kind of the two ways you fill these positions. So let's get into the domino effect of this. And I think for the domino effect, we're talking football, because everything else, correct me if I'm wrong, is kind of locked into place as far as the sports that all our fans are going
to
care about.
I think aside from football, I am very curious, what is he going to do with Marcus Sedbury?
Yes.
Because as he was the interim athletic director, he was the GM of football. Now Morocco Brown is in as the GM of football. And I think overall, I want Eichhorst to take a look less so at the sports, because as you said, outside of football, most things are operating pretty well, I think. How does the department run? What works inside the department organizationally? I want him to take a sweeping look at all of that. What works and what doesn't? Figure that out, then get rid of what hasn't been working, what hasn't worked as status quo, and then keep what has been working. Keep what makes Wisconsin great. Keep the people in the building that elevate Wisconsin and make it awesome. I hope he takes more of a look organizationally at things when it comes to that question, the domino effect. And I think Marcus Sedbury, if Eichhorst doesn't really want to get out and be a public facing figure, although he did say he loved people and he loves to get out, like, Marcus Sedbury, in the very short time he's been interim AD, seems to have been awesome at developing relationships, and people seem to really like him when he goes out in public. So maybe let him be the figurehead, the face.
Hey, AD in waiting.
Exactly.
Why not?
I mean, keep him around. I wouldn't be opposed to that.
Eichhorst is either 58 or 59. I can't find his birthday online.
We can never find how old this guy is.
But let's say it's a five-year deal. It's not crazy to say that this might be a total of an eight-year sort of run. So Sedbury is someone that right now the only blemish on his resume is that he has ties to Mac.
Yep.
And so I think it's smart for Eichhorst to come in and give Sedbury a clean bill of, you know, hey, here's what we're going to do, and, you know, tell me about yourself. And by all accounts, lots of people like Sedbury. So I know he had a athletic director type role. I don't know if it was associate or deputy or things like that, I believe, before he came here as the football GM. So maybe he can continue to kind of grow in the administration side of things to be ready for Wisconsin when it opens up or the next job, and then also help the Badgers as things go along. With the football team, it is interesting because initially I'm like, if things don't work out with Fickell, he's going to go with Jason Eck down at New Mexico. And I'm starting to wonder, and I can see both sides of this, but the Texas connection for him is something to at least keep an eye on. And realistically, and I haven't had a chance to look into this, and I don't think there's anyone off that Mike Riley's staff, but maybe there was a quarterback coach off that staff at Nebraska that is now a up-and-coming coach around here. Maybe someone at Miami was a wide receivers coach there. So when you start to look at it, it is good that his tree and his wealth of knowledge stretches a little bit into the ACC, obviously Big Ten, Nebraska, but it's also for a while, not when
Big
he
12.
Was there, Big 12 country at least. And then you got Texas with that Big 12 SEC crossover. So it's just interesting that initially I'm like, slam dunk, it'll be Eck if he's successful at New Mexico and Fickell flounders. But now it's like, well, not 100%. That could open up a little bit, which I that could be good, at least if there's interviews of people outside of.
Yeah, it's at least really interesting. I can't – I wish I knew the names of the Texas OC and DC off the top of my head. I should quick look that up. But that – it's really interesting to think about, and it does get me excited. Like, someone having 8 years of experience at a premier program such as Texas, and they are top-notch at essentially everything – they do. They're great at every sport. I believe they won 3 Learfield Commissioner's Cups while he was there, which is given to the school that's best at overall sports.
Best in sports.
They're just the best
that's
in sports.
Yeah, like, good to hire someone. That's...
Texas is the best in sports for the most part. Like, I love that. And given that everyone, publicly at least, that we have seen has spoken incredibly highly of him, everyone from Texas, that makes me – that does get me excited, and it makes me very curious. And you never know. Maybe Sark has a rough year or two, and and the standards are a little higher in Texas. Then we poach him. You never know. You never know. Sark in the press release said that Eichhorst had a big role in hiring him at Texas. So that's a pipe dream. But if things don't work out with Fickell and Sark flounders a bit at Texas, something to look at.
Yeah, I think the expansion of the tree, we do have to remember that, yes, Eichhorst is a Barry disciple, but I'm sorry, when did he leave? 2012, I believe? Left the University of Wisconsin?
Yeah, I believe he worked there through 2011.
Okay, yeah, so it's a long time he's been gone working at other programs, again, Miami, Nebraska, and Texas, so that's a wealth of knowledge he's able to build upon. Mm-hmm. So I think that's another positive.
Yeah, which I think when I called him Mac 2.0 initially as my first reaction, I still, like, that still is what it felt like immediately off the rip because he essentially is Nebraska's Mac. But when you compare them with experience and the depth, the breadth of knowledge that he has compared to Mac, I'll admit, I believe I was wrong on my assessment that he was Mac 2.0. So, again, feeling a lot better.
Yeah, just as you bring that up here, I want to take a quick look because it is interesting. So, his administrative career, according to Wikipedia, is 2014. He was director of business development for Wisconsin through 16.
Yep.
16-17, he was associate athletic director, again, with business development, so it's more of like a title bump.
Yeah.
And then 17 through 21, deputy AD. And then 21 through 26, he was, obviously, until he left, the AD.
Yep.
So, basically, the time that Eichhorst was at Texas, that's Mac's entire experience. And so...
At not Texas.
Right.
And not doing Mac wasn't doing what Eichhorst was doing at Texas.
And at Nebraska, at Miami, at Texas, you're getting out of your comfort zone. Mac is brought in as the prodigal son to be the guy, and how much are you pushed? Mm-hmm. How much out of your comfort zone are you? So, more the, this isn't Mac 2.0.
Yeah.
And look, Mac hopefully will be successful at what he's doing with the Big Ten. It just was not, I don't think it was the job for him to be the AD for the University of Wisconsin. All right, let's get to our clip of the week.
Around these parts, there's only time for the best of the Badgers.
We don't know exactly where we are right now.
Why don't you own the Wisconsin football team?
We need to play better significantly.
They're spoiled rotten.
This is the clip of the week on the Jump Around.
Go someplace else. Go boo in a bar.
Yeah, and Lane Grindle joined Molly and Jim earlier this week. He has knowledge of Sean Eichhorst, and he shared it with us.
It's a tough situation that Sean came into. I really, truly believe that. And then I think probably, if I'm being honest, and Sean's my friend, I would tell him this to his face, he just made the wrong hire. Mike Riley's a wonderful human being, was not a great fit at Nebraska, and it didn't work out. He went to Texas, and he's the number 2 AD now under Chris Del Conte, who's one of the best athletic directors in college athletics. He's seen that NIL machine that they have there. He has worked in all sorts of different capacities in a great, successful athletic department. And so I would think the Sean Eichhorst that Wisconsin's getting today is not even the same guy that left Nebraska. And that guy was a bright guy that I think would have been a tremendous athletic director at Wisconsin, because fit matters. And I think he's a perfect fit at Wisconsin. And I think he's probably that much more skilled and educated on the current goings on of this era of college athletics, which is a challenging one, than he obviously would have been 10 years ago.
Before we get into React, did you just spill coffee on yourself?
I did, well, yes. This is show, there's a movie, Airplane, where he says he has a drinking problem. And he always spills his drink. It's like his problem is he can't drink.
He can't drink,
so I have
a
drinking problem, apparently. Yes, I spilled my coffee on myself.
Well, at least it's a very busy shirt, yes. So you can't really see the stain.
I'm hoping it's not too bad.
I can't see it just from this distance, okay. So I feel like you're probably fine.
All right, so, and this is in Oklahoma City, their minor league team for the Dodgers. This is they rebranded everything. I'll be honest, I don't know the name of the team. It used to be the Dodgers. It's not the Dodgers anymore. But it was very fireworks, 4th of July.
Yeah, I like
it. I thought I'd roll with that. But yes, I did. I was going to bring it up, but I'm glad you did too. Because obviously, Owen couldn't do me the courtesy of not having me on camera as I'm trying to clean up.
I threw you in for a loop because usually when we do Clip of the Week, I have it on a separate template. Yeah. You guys are off camera, but this was a vertical video of Lane. So I'm like, let's do it in the middle.
I like the creativity.
I made an assumption. And I was going to be off screen for a second, and nope, and spilled on myself, and then it just stayed there, so I couldn't even really clean myself up off screen. So
made for a good moment.
Yeah, we appreciate it. So, but Lane's thoughts.
Yes, and this was the first insider information that I heard that was positive about Sean Ikor. So this, on Tuesday, we had him on Molly and Jim, was the first time it really got the gears turned, okay. Maybe this isn't the worst hire in the world. Maybe there is some reason to get excited about Sean Eichhorst. And also, I didn't realize Lane Grinnell was such a college football nerd. He was thrown out turn. He knows Chris Del Conte. He's one of the best ADs in the country. It was great. But it's very encouraging hearing Lane Grinnell say that because he was a broadcaster at Nebraska. And I think the biggest takeaway from that isn't necessarily what he said, but the fact that it confirms what people have said, that people who have worked with Eichhorst inside the building, student-athletes as well, they really like him. And he seems to be able to get people on his side and rally people around him. Even if he isn't this big rah-rah leader type, people respect him and people like working with him, which I don't know if at the end of Mac's tenure, I don't know how much people liked working for him or liked working in that building. So that is something that's incredibly encouraging, just knowing that Lane, just from being a broadcaster at Nebraska, was able to build that kind of relationship with Eichhorst. It gives me confidence that he can build those relationships with the people that currently work in the AD and with boosters and with fans, which is really cool.
Yeah, I think a positive work environment benefits everyone. Obviously, I don't know the work environment there before, but Eichhorst sounds like he's someone that has built a work environment that people have enjoyed at multiple different places. All right, let's get to the Twitter portal.
It's time to get back to the Twitter portal.
All right, guys, so stepping into the Twitter portal this week. First, we're going to lead off with the Red Shed.
I love the Red Shed.
To be clear, experience in college athletics, prior to 2022, which would be the NIL landscape, is kind of useless. I'm not going to say what he said, but it's useless in his opinion. Eichhorst could certainly prove the world wrong, but this is an alarmingly bad AD hire on all levels. So I want to ask you guys, do you guys value any AD experience before the NIL landscape became what it was in this era of college athletics?
Well, again, I think it's not all changed. I would say the non-revenue sports are probably pretty similar. And I know that we only care about football. I put that in air quotes. But, I don't know how different volleyball is or women's hockey or men's hockey or wrestling. And those sports matter to those student-athletes. And so some of these takes like this are asinine in the idea that you completely ignore the fact that there are other sports, and University of Wisconsin is elite at volleyball and at women's hockey, and the men's hockey team is pretty damn close to that at times. And so how about we pull our heads out of our asses and understand it's not only football that operates everything, but then also remember that, I'm sorry, do we not just have a long conversation that Eichhorst was at Texas? So if you just took this in a vacuum and said, Eichhorst's been basically taking an undergrad, a mentorship at one of the best schools in all of college football on how to manage the NIL. So I think someone like that is just angry that they has ties to Barry, or is angry that it's not the person they wanted, and refuses to see that, hey, fine, let's take what you said at face value, that it doesn't carry water. He was at Texas during this time of NIL, and he's been excelling there. So just on that alone, if you wanted to wipe off the whole resume beforehand, that means you hired the assistant athletic director from Texas with no baggage. And tell me what the problem with that is.
Yeah, that was exactly what I was about to say. I understand not being ecstatic about this hire. I understand being concerned about the hire, but that reasoning is just flawed. If you're throwing out everything before 2022, this is a fantastic hire.
Yes.
It's just one of the...
If you throw out the hiring of Mike Riley, this is an amazing hire.
It's a great hire. A Wisconsin native who helped Texas transition from the Big 12 to the SEC, who worked at one of the best departments in the country. So just the logic there is horribly wrong by Redshed. As much as I like some of his tweets, that one, not his best.
All right, moving on. You guys are hot on this, and I like it, because that's leading into this next one.
Oh, wow, here we go.
Here we go. I suppose Wisconsin is banking on a lot of learning by osmosis from his time at Texas. I don't know. Being a fundraiser at Texas seems a lot like being an OC, offensive coordinator, for Peyton Manning in his prime. Hard to screw it up, and hard to know how much credit is really yours. If Eichhorst is our guy, let's hope he doesn't end up being Wisconsin's Adam Gase. What's your guys' thoughts on that?
Sick Adam Gase reference.
Yeah. That's ball knowledge.
Yeah, that's all he got hired to be the Bears OC. He made Jay Cutler good for a year, and then he got a head coaching job. So... look, again, asinine take. Osmosis, he's not just standing against the wall. Do you not understand what osmosis is? He's doing the damn work. And I would argue that Texas has incredibly high expectations. You can't flounder. You can't be average. You can't rest on your laurels. You have to go out there, especially as a non-Texas guy, and trust me, I'm pretty confident in saying that Texas probably has the same sort of standards of being a Texas person as we do here of being Wisconsinites, and probably stronger down in Texas. So you got a Yankee down with the Longhorns kicking ass, getting oil money. I don't know. I think that's impressive. I'm sorry you just want to, I don't know, urinate in everyone's Cheerios.
Yeah, it's not like he was second in command at Kennesaw State.
Right.
Or even Texas State.
Or an intern at Texas.
Yeah, like, it's
it was
not
a real job.
Same. Exactly. Right. And when you have the chief financial officer coming out publicly tweeting, saying, Wisconsin got a great one, I enjoyed every single day I worked with him for the past 8 years, and because he worked with him daily, it gives me a little bit of confidence. I don't think... Well, I've seen tweets similar to this underneath those Texas administrators tweeting in support of Eichhorst. People being like, oh, you're just happy he left and you didn't have to pay him anymore. It's like, he's been working there 8 years.
Nobody has to pay anyone. You could just let him go. Just ask Barack O'Brien.
They didn't have to get rid of him. They weren't going to get rid of him.
Right.
So, while again, I understand not being super excited about the hire, but the rationale... It's just flawed. This is a better thought out response. This is much better than the Redshed's tweet.
Yeah.
But again, a little bit flawed. And I also hope he doesn't end up being our Adam Gase.
Yes,
agreed.
Especially not. I don't want a weird press conference.
Definitely not.
With the eyes and everything. I don't know what that was about. Someone must have told him, "Hey, keep your eyes open," and that's all he was thinking about.
Yeah. All right, moving on to our final Twitter portal insight. Something that kind of maybe went under the rug as soon as the news of Sean Eichhorst being hired, but in case you missed it, Culver's fresh jersey sponsorship ads on the football, basketball, and hockey jerseys. As you can see, J.J. Watt says, if there had to be one, this is it. Culver's forever on Wisconsin. How do you guys feel about the Culver's jersey sponsorship?
Yeah, I agree with JJ. I don't know why it has to be if it had to be one. I mean, I don't know. I get it, but, like, we're past it now. Like, everyone's going to have one. Yes, there's going to be one. You don't need to add the extra sentence there. It's Culver's. It's amazing. I don't know if there'd be a brand. I mean, AmFam, but Culver's is fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, insurance isn't fun.
Much
I have AmFam
more
insurance.
Exciting than like the Brewers, yes. Northwestern Mutual.
Yes. So like Culver's is fun. You know the kids like Culver's. That's fun. And I think that the whole experience of it is fantastic in the idea that the Badgers got a local brand. And then hopefully this makes them more aligned with Craig Culver and there's more opportunities to get money because the Culver's brand is only lifted when the Badgers are good. Good luck in negotiation if the next time around if the Badgers don't start winning more.
Yeah, I will just preface. I get J.J. Watt, the preface sentence. I'm fundamentally opposed to ads on uniforms. I think uniforms should be, sacred vessels for fandom. Like, they don't need to be sullied with advertisements. But, as you said, it's inevitable. And if you're Wisconsin, you need money. And Culver's, now they're expanding nationally. They have a ton of money to give. And I'm assuming this cost a pretty penny. Am I the biggest fan of a giant blue splotch on the uniforms? Not really. It's a bit jarring, but it would have been better if they just did the script. But Culver's is paying you a ton of money. They're going to get the blue oval on there. And still, it's a great brand. It's cool. Overall, I really like it. I'm a big fan. This is a perfect fit for Wisconsin. We joked about this. I didn't think this was going to happen.
Yeah,
so if you're going to get one, Culver's was the perfect play.
You know what? Go all in on this. Like, get Scoopy on the sidelines with Bucky. Maybe have a Culver's brand. Then it wouldn't look so weird. You could have the alternate uniforms, a Culver's one.
Yeah, get a Culver's uniform in the mix. Go all out.
Yeah, with Scoopy on the helmet. Hey, you pay, we'll do it.
If you're going to do it, commit to it.
Right,
make it a great thing.
Yeah, toss in an extra couple mil, and they'll get Scoopy. They'll get an alternate uniform, all blue, and you get Scoopy on it.
Like, if it gets you a college football playoff appearance.
Thing. I ran into my buddy yesterday after the World Cup, and we were talking about this. And I said, I don't give a rip if Wisconsin wins a natty in football. Put a Culver's logo all over the dang jersey. I don't care.
Right.
I will take it day.
As the World Cup highlights are on, and obviously they don't have it as much in the World Cup, but you can look at the forward. It says an insurance company's name across the front. Like most soccer teams,
it's not that
have
bad.
It across the front. It's a revenue generator. And just be happy that it's a team or a brand that makes sense, kind of like when the Bucks had Harley.
Yep.
Like that, the Brewers with Miller Park. But even AmFam, at least it's a big Wisconsin company. Mm-hmm. Just remember, we all could be Guaranteed Rate, which has a arrow pointing down, and it's Guaranteed Rate Stadium for the White Sox. Imagine a giant arrow pointing down on top of your stadium.
That would suck.
Yes. So just be thankful it's Culver's. All right. Steinhoffels also would have been a great partner for the Badgers on the logo. Steinhoffels Furniture and Mattress is celebrating America 250 with huge savings for your home. Right now, save up to 30% store-wide, plus get a $250 MasterCard when you spend $2,999 or more. Whether you're shopping for a new sofa, bedroom set, dining room, or mattress, now's the perfect time to save big and bring home the styles you love. Celebrate the Steinhoffels America 250 sale. Shop in-store or anytime at steinhoffels.com. Jim Polzine coming up next.
Oh, that's hot! Not as hot as the deals during the Steinhoffels America 250 sale.
Right now, save up to 30% store-wide. Plus, get a $250 MasterCard rewards card with a purchase of $29.99. And 60-month financing makes it easy to bring it all home.
A nation united by comfort and well-done deals. So get into Steinhoffels today, because a sale this big won't last forever.
We welcome in Jim Polzine now from the Wisconsin State Journal, Badger Extra. And Jim, I'd love for you to, as much as you can, share with us how this kind of news started making its way to you and how you started processing the whole thing.
Well, kicking myself now, but I started to hear some stuff about Sean Eichhorst late last week and then into Monday. In fact, I was sitting around the office with Todd Molesky and we were kind of mulling over how this might go down. And his prediction was Eichhorst. I'll give him credit for that. And so we woke up Tuesday thinking that news might come out Wednesday. We just could not narrow it down and go with anything that was official mm-hmm. or that we could source out. And then Pete Thamel broke it and all hell broke loose.
Jim, moving to your reaction to the news, you wrote earlier this week that this felt more like a safe hire that didn't really provide much relief for Badgers fans. Then I read your column this morning after you heard Ikor speak yesterday and how he sort of nailed as much as he could that first meeting with the media. So did he actually, after listening to him talk, did he move the needle for you? Did your opinion actually change on him and the hire after yesterday?
Slightly. I mean, I would say this. When I even throughout this process, when I considered him as a candidate, it didn't blow my socks off. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he was named on when the news broke on Tuesday morning. I made a lot of calls. I spent most of Tuesday on the phone talking to people. And there are a ton of people whose opinions I trust and respect who really like this hire. And so that was noteworthy as I kind of tried to write a piece that is my thoughts and my opinion, but an informed opinion in many ways. So that's where I landed, is that I just, you know, by Tuesday night, I didn't know whether to like it. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. I was somewhere in the middle, and I hated that as a columnist, feeling that way, because, you know, you're supposed to have some strong opinions. I just kind of felt like it was in the middle. Now, I will say this, you know, pretty much every name I heard during the process, nobody blew me away. I mean, there just was none where I'm like, yes, pick that guy. And here's why you should pick this guy or girl, woman, excuse me. And so there wasn't anybody. And part of that was, I think the committee and Chancellor Wilcox did a good job of keeping this quiet. So there might be candidates out there that I don't know about and hadn't heard. So it's very possible that, you know, they interviewed someone that I really would have liked. But getting in, Riley, to your kind of the next day reaction, mm-hmm. I listen, there wasn't much he could have done that would have blown me away in a Zoom press conference, but I thought he answered everything. He didn't duck the Nebraska questions. I thought that was important. You know, he didn't come out and proclaim this master plan. I think that's the worst thing you can do, frankly. You got to get here and talk to people and understand the situation better before you go making grand conclusions. And I like that. I think he's a thoughtful guy. Everybody I've talked to said he's smart, will work with people. You know, it's the Nebraska thing is kind of hanging over his head. And until he proves that to be different, it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, and with this, I had the same thing of it's really hard to have like a take on it. But part of it is I don't think good programs spend a lot of time talking about the athletic director. And I guess I've come to the conclusion that in 12 months, I really hope that he is just someone that's faded into the background, that he's that either Fickell is here and that coach is, you know, he's rolling, or they've, you know, moved on from Fickell and someone new is in here and things are rolling. And that's the only news to be had, because I mean, Barry was different, but Barry was someone that could seek the spotlight, grab the attention and really do good things for the program. But I mean, if you gave me $100 for every athletic director I could name across the country, maybe I'm naming four or five athletic directors, but I think that's a good thing. The best programs, I don't know if we necessarily should know who the athletic director is.
It's an interesting point, Jim, because I've been hearing the opposite from some fans who are like, this guy can't be the face of the organization. And it's really kind of it's caused me to kind of take a step back and be like, do you have to have a face of the organization? Yes, Barry Alvarez for many years was the face of this place, right? And I don't know how necessary it is, because I think a lot of, like you said, a lot of good work by an athletic director can be done behind the scenes, you know, like with donors. He's going to have mm-hmm. to go out and glad hand and work donors and convince them that whatever he's selling is worth giving to, certainly. But I think Joe and Jane Fan are going to look at the bottom line, and that's winning in all sports, but especially in the big sports. So, you know, at that point, if you're successful, you can kind of become the face of the organization. I don't know that that's what he wants. I mean, that's one of the things that we didn't get into that with him yesterday. But, you know, if I ever got a chance to talk to him, I think he's a guy that likes to operate in the background. I don't know that you can do that totally. And yet I don't think you need to be out front of every camera and try hard to be the face of a athletic department. So we'll see how it goes. Like I said, it is what it is, but going back to kind of what you're talking about, I don't know that any name I heard was going to come in here and instantly be the face of the organization. So I don't know that that's a plus or minus against Eichhorst.
Yeah, and like off of that, and that's what got me thinking about, like if I think of Duke, I would think of Coach K, obviously, mm-hmm. Nick Saban at Alabama. For Wisconsin, it happened to be Barry because he coached football, and then Brett a little bit. But in general, I think it's usually the most successful program is the face. We just happen to have an overlap for a long time. So, yeah, I'm not too worried about Eichhorst having to be the face. It's more of who is he going – is it going to be Luke Fickell? Is it going to be Jason Eck or whoever he brings in? Who is that new face? To me, it's all comes down to it's the football hire because that's the most prestigious job here at Wisconsin. That's going to be the face. So to me, it's more about who is Eichhorst going to choose as the face of the program as opposed to him being it.
Yeah, I mean, that's ultimately what athletic directors are judged on is who you hire, how successful those coaches are, especially in football. Like, we all know that football's got to get fixed somehow, right? So he now comes in and has months, 3 to 4 months to evaluate what's going on and then has to decide, is Luke Fickell the best person to lead this program? And if not, who is? And that's what we're going to judge him on. It's somewhat unfair. I don't know if unfair is the right word, but what happened at Nebraska was he got that wrong, right? It wasn't so much that, in my opinion, it wasn't so much that he fired Bo Pelini, because I think there were a lot of people at Nebraska in administration who were done with Bo Pelini. Mm-hmm. But you needed to nail the next hire, and he didn't. And then fans started looking at it as like, why would you fire a 9-3 coach for a guy that goes 19-19 over three seasons? But it completely, you know, he did a lot of good there. Like if you talk to people at Nebraska in terms of student athlete wellness and support, and even like facilities and moving that stuff forward, he did really well there. So you can't look at it as a total failure. There was a lot of behind the scenes stuff that he was doing that was good and sports that were doing well under him. But ultimately, again, especially now more than ever, you're judged by football. And at this place right now, in the next year to 2 years, they've got to get football fixed or else the whole athletic department's in trouble.
Yeah, you mentioned football and the mistake at Nebraska. That was the big reason why my knee-jerk reaction when hearing the hire was like, ugh, this is so meh. He made a big mistake. This just feels like we're hiring Nebraska's Chris McIntosh. But then after hearing a lot more about his time at Texas, I'm starting to come around and feel more positively. Do you know, after talking to people, do you know what did he do at Texas? Do you know what his day-to-day sort of looked like or what his responsibilities involved at Texas?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned day-to-day. That's what I was going to say is I think he was heavily involved in the day-to-day because I think nowadays at a lot of, especially the big-time places, the athletic director has so much on their plate with just the landscape in college athletics, donors, fundraising, revenue creation, all that stuff, that I think if you're smart and if you have a good athletic director who is willing to delegate and trust the people he's delegating to, then you can push off some of the other stuff on a deputy athletic director. So you look at Texas' success in just broad-based. I mean, they've won five of the past six Learfield. And in talking to people around here that got to talk to Sean and got to learn more about him, they said he was heavily involved in all that stuff, had his fingers in everything, tried to find ways to make each individual program better and try to put each coach and those athletes in better position to win. So in terms of specifics, I don't know. It's really, frankly, what I'd like to find out more. Mm-hmm. But nobody has said that he was just there and had a desk and wasn't actively involved in that. I think he, part of that success at least is you know, Sean Eichhorst had his fingers in that. So that's encouraging. And frankly, to me, if you're going to have a failure like you did at Nebraska, and again, like failure is a tough word, but you get fired.
Yep.
It's what do you do next? And do you go somewhere and learn from your mistakes and go actively help a new athletic department. I think that's what he did. I think the best thing that could have happened is he did that. Ultimately, fans are going to look back at the Nebraska thing, and until, like I said, until he now comes and does something better at a new place, it's not going to matter. But I think he's in better position to be a good athletic director in 2026 than he was 9 years ago.
Yeah, and we can look around sports of people either getting fired or cut and then rebounding from that and having better careers. So those that want to be negative on it, and I'm kind of, it's more indifferent. He seems like he's capable and he has the right resume. And you know what? That's a heck of a start, because I don't want to make it about Mac, but like, Mac didn't have this long run of, you know, this administrative job for a long time, knowing exactly what it is. And maybe the job wasn't even exactly what Mac wanted. Sean Eichhorst knows exactly what he's getting into. But, Jim, one of the things I thought was interesting is that it seems like there was a backlash, which is a change over the last decade, to Eichhorst in the idea that he had ties to Barry. And it's like, oh, it's the old guard. And why would Barry Alvarez, why would we want someone else on the Barry Alvarez tree? Because you look at Mac and it didn't work out here. But I'd argue that whether it's in sports, in sports administration, or in life, there are plenty of people of the Barry Alvarez tree who have been wildly successful because of the lessons that he's taught and the things that he's done. So were you surprised at some of the backlash of the idea that, oh, we can't hire this guy because he has ties to Barry?
Yeah, I just think there's people out there. I don't know how big. You can never, it's always hard to tell how big that group is. But there is certainly a element of the fan base and the people who care that just thought it was time to move on to something new. Get someone different in here who doesn't necessarily have close ties and can kind of take a look at the athletic department and decide, all right, do we need to make some household changes here? And is this time to kind of blow it up? Is probably too strong, but you know, they're at a very, very critical time. Is it time to have someone fresh come in outside, not tied to anybody around here, and just examine this for what it is and go from there? And I think that's, you know, that's one school of thought. I think the school of thought that prevailed, certainly in Eric Wilcott's mind, is that would be pretty drastic. You know, that would be to have someone that doesn't have ties to the state, university, athletic department, all that stuff, would be risky, a different kind of risk. And I think that's ultimately why they settled on that. I agree with everything you say. Like, if Sean Eichhorst learned from, and he worked for a lot of good people, and Barry Alvarez is one of them, then that's what you want. You want someone with that type of experience. So I get it for that reason. This has kind of always been a place where you keep it inside the family. Luke Fickell's one of the main exceptions to that. So here they are. Like I said, there's two very, very opposite schools of thought. And even going beyond that, the other school of thought, if it came down to Eichhorst and Brad Alberts, those are two very, very different candidates. Yep. Very, very different, right? You have a pro guy coming in, and you have a guy who's been around college athletics for a long time. The pro guy would have been an interesting outside-the-box way of thinking. Very, very risky, though, right? Mm-hmm. To have someone that comes into this place where it's critical that you work hand-in-hand with campus and state legislature and cut through a lot of red tape and do – you know, focus on 23 teams and not just one. It's that would have been a very, very risky hire. It would have been a bold move, but I think the people I talked to said it would have been too bold and too much of a risk at this in the current climate.
Yeah, I'll admit I was one of the people in that camp who wanted more of a bold hire, who wanted them to go more outside the box. And it could be an age discrepancy thing. I just don't see why it's a necessity to keep it in the family, right, or keep it around Barry Alvarez. But now looking at, like, they're both have their own risks and rewards. So I'm starting to come around to the decision they ended up making. But Jim, taking it 1 year from today, is there anything or what would have to happen for Wisconsin fans or for you to say, like, yep, this is trending in the right direction, it appears that they're getting this right? Or is 1 year, is that not long enough time?
Yeah, that's a really tough one, Riley, because if things go bad in football, he's going to make a new hire, and 1 year then isn't you don't enough know to evaluate who that is. And if it's Jason Eck, I think people are going to be super thrilled, right? But if Fickell comes and goes 7-5 or 8-4 and Eichhorst doesn't make a move, you know, how do you evaluate that too? Like, so I don't know that 1 year is enough. Here's what I want to see in the next 6 months to a year. I want to see the structure in place where they're not making so many little tiny errors, right? The PR mistakes that I think Chris McIntosh made during his last 2 to 3 years. If Eichhorst can just get some of the layup, if he can make the layups, I think that's a good start. And a year from now, it'll be a decent way to evaluate him based on that track record. The other thing that makes it really, really hard to put a timeline on this is we don't know what college athletics is going to look like in a month or a year. Like, is this bill going to go through? What rules are going to be in place? Is there going to be more, you know, is there going to be more, our conference is going to be bigger, and is there going to be more expansion? Like, it's just, it's so hard to predict, which I think goes back to my previous point about why people kind of in the know, whose voices I think were heard, thought a stable choice, the safe pick, which kind of sounds bad, but I think it doesn't have to sound bad, was the way to go.
The last thing I have for you, Jim, is that, you know, you touched on it earlier, and fans are guilty of it, we're guilty of it too. Like, Eichhorst, as you touched on, was successful with a lot of other sports at Nebraska. Texas had a lot of successful sports outside of football. And Wisconsin, honestly, what we're best at is women's hockey, volleyball, men's hockey's up there too. And women's basketball is growing, and men's basketball is kind of at a plateau. We don't know where it is right now. Yeah. It's got room to grow. But how much of that do you think? I think it's positive he has ties to the university. I think he worked with Mark and worked with Greg Gard at least a little bit, that he understands that I don't need to do anything with those because they're doing well, and I'm going to come in here and just focus on the things that need to be focused on and let the other things cook if they're doing well.
Yeah, I guess the one quibble with that I would make is I'm curious to see if he can help men's basketball in terms of NIL.
Yeah.
Like, I think Greg Gard is doing about as much as he can on his own in a lot of ways with his staff. And it's not a one-man operation. But I guess what I'm trying to say is they've had a hard time keeping up with the Joneses. And, you know, Sean Eichhorst has said, you know, one of his strengths is he goes and asks coaches what they want and says, I'm here to help you. So how helpful can he be in those regards? It's a tough one right now because, again, a lot of the resources are being poured into football, and I understand why. But men's basketball is one I want to keep an eye on. You know, how do things look in a year in terms of how much support is Greg Gard getting from administration? But you're right. Like, you know, Mark Johnson, Kelly Sheffield, keep those programs rolling. Is women's basketball continue on an upward trajectory? Men's hockey made a big play. And then the other, you know, how do they do in the other non-revs is interesting to me. He said all the right things. And I think one of the reasons he got this job, and just in kind of reading between the lines with him and Eric Wilcots, is, you know, he is big. Eichhorst is big on the student athlete experience and academics and all that. All the stuff an interim chancellor wants to hear, I think Sean Eichhorst probably said in the interview, which is, again, is why probably it made it kind of a natural fit when it came down to Wilcots deciding what he wanted to do.
Jim, fantastic stuff as always with Badger Extra, with the Wisconsin State Journal. We appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Thanks, guys. Happy 4th.
Yeah,
happy
you fourth. Too. That's Jim Polzin on the Yuengling guest hotline. Yuengling, the oldest brewery in America, now officially in Wisconsin. DG Yuengling and Son.
Door County Distillery, you see our rundown. The best parts of Door County, it's finding those local spots that capture the flavor. Door County Distillery, that's going to be your spot. Made locally right there in Carlsville, Door County Distillery crafts small batch spirits with Wisconsin ingredients and that unmistakable Door County character. Whether you're into their smooth, luminous vodka, the Door County Cherry Vodka, like myself, probably going to have some this weekend, brandy, gin, whiskey, or something else, Door County Distillery has it all. Stop in and stock up for this summer today. With Door County Distillery, the full experience is waiting for you. Find your local retailer and more at DoorCountyDistillery.com.
This has been The Jump Around. Thanks for watching on ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee's YouTube streams.